There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Louise Boyce, aka Mama Still Got It, and today's podcast is about drinking and being a mum and going sober, how much alcohol is normal, and how does it feel to actually give up alcohol. This is a really frank and open conversation, probably one of the frankest ones we've ever had, and I'm so excited to announce we've got Claire Pooley as a guest. She's a mother of three, a blogger of Mummy Was a Secret Drinker, and author of the brilliant book, The Sober Diaries. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. Clemmie Telford's back with us. She's recently sober, been sober for 4 months. Also really excited to have my sister with us today. She's a mum of two and loves a glass of wine or two, and she's going to be really honest and open about how much alcohol she's drinking, and is that normal? And what is normal? And, you know, let's take it from there, and let's just go straight into it. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Welcome back to the Mum Still Got It podcast. I'm very excited about this podcast. It's something that I've been trying to do for so long. The guests today are Claire Pooley. She's mother of three, blogger of Mummy Was a Secret Drinker, and author of The Sober Diaries, which is a brilliant book about how one woman stopped drinking and started living. We've got Clemmie Telford back in the house, mother of three, podcaster, curator, and mother of all is founder. That's a mouthful.
A lot of stuff.
Clemmie has recently gone sober.
I have.
Which I think is brilliant. I can't wait to talk to you about that. And also we've got Bonnie Barry, mother of two, freelancer and influencer marketing. That's also a mouthful. Loves a glass of wine or two, and also is my sister. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for all being here. It's so nice to meet you, Claire, after like feeling like I've known you for so long on Instagram and read your
I'm
book.
I'm so glad we made it.
I know. We got there in the end. And yeah, I did read your book after going sober for 1 month doing dry January, and read your book and absolutely loved it, and actually said to myself, right, that's it, I'm just gonna go sober, which as soon as February 1st hit, that kind of went out the window. But this is a podcast that actually a lot of people have been interested about, because there are obviously a lot of mums out there that do enjoy alcohol, and so we're going to crack on with we're going to come to you first, Claire. Actually, there are many women and mothers out there who love like wine o'clock and Prosecco o'clock. At what point did you realise you were perhaps drinking too much and wanted to give up, and why?
Oh, it took me a really long time. Partly because I thought I was only doing what everyone else was doing. And actually, I guess I really was doing what everyone else was doing, in that, you know, I just got to the end of a day with, you know, wrangling three children. And I thought a glass of wine was me time. It was my way of relaxing. It was my way of flicking a switch and sort of changing the tone of the day. And, you know, I thought that was perfectly acceptable. But the problem was that one glass sort of became two glasses, and two glasses became three glasses. And my glasses got bigger too. So three big glasses is a whole bottle.
Yeah.
And, you know, before long, I was drinking a bottle of wine a day. And at weekends, I was drinking probably two bottles of wine.
What, by yourself or with company?
With, you know, it's a bit of both. Yeah. So, you know, I probably started by myself, but ended up with company.
Yeah.
You know? So my husband would get back from work, and I'd often pretend that I hadn't already had a couple of glasses of wine, and I'd open a bottle of wine and we'd share it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd already drunk half a bottle of wine by myself. So, yeah, so by the end, I was drinking about 9-10 bottles of wine a week, possibly, which is way more than the government guidelines.
Yeah. Yes.
And the ridiculous thing is, nobody, you know, nobody thought I had a problem. Nobody said, you know, stage an intervention, or said, Claire, you've got to stop, because, you know, I was rarely drunk. I just had a massive tolerance by that stage.
Yeah.
So I could drink a bottle of wine and feel fine. Mm. You know, I could still, you know, I could still manage.
Function and, yeah.
But what I realised and the reason I decided that things had to stop was it was affecting my mental and physical health in so many different ways. So I was 2 stone overweight. I had terrible insomnia. So I used to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning every night pretty much and not get back to sleep for ages. Mm. I had really bad anxiety and, you know, I think a lot of people drink because they think it helps anxiety. Mm. Actually, yeah. It makes it worse.
Yeah.
And when I realised this, it was like a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
So, so I had anxiety issues and I basically felt like my whole life had got very small. I was really stuck in a rut where, you know, my life revolved around children and drinking and not much else. Yeah. And I had that moment where I thought, which was sparked off by a time I mentioned in the first page of the book, actually.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Should I tell the story? Yeah, you tell it. So I woke up the day after my birthday party, and I had a terrible hangover, and it was a Sunday morning, and my children, 3 children, were all in the kitchen making a complete racket, and at the time they were aged between 6 and 10, and I had a really bad hangover, and I had hard and fast rules about drinking, and one of my absolute no break rules was you never drink before midday, because I thought if you drink in the morning then you're like a proper alcoholic, and that's a line I wasn't going to cross. But I had this terrible hangover, and I thought the only thing that is going to make this hangover feel better is if I drink something else. And I looked in the cupboard, and there was a bottle of red wine which had a tiny bit left in it. And I thought, that's a sign. I never leave a bottle of wine with anything left in it. So, you know, if there's booze left, it's because it's a sign. And it was 11 o'clock. And I thought, I can't pour that wine into a glass because apart from anything else, my children would be horrified. So I got a mug out of the cupboard and I poured about an inch of wine into the mug, which is all that was left. And I drank it and I did feel better almost immediately. And then I looked at the mug and it said, world's best mum on it.
I just got shivers because I remember reading it.
Yeah,
yeah, sorry.
Yeah. And that was it. I haven't had any alcohol since then.
Since that was nearly four years ago.
What
a way to go out with that old
wow.
And that's all it took. That was like your decision to say,
yeah,
right, that's
I thought
enough.
I'd broken,
the light bulb moment.
I'd broken a hard rules. And fast rule. Yeah. And I this thought, this right. is, it's not right. No. It's not, you know, it's, yeah. it's not a way to live. It's not a way to bring up your kids.
No, and I guess, seeing that world's best mum, that probably feeling of guilt of like, I'm actually, you know, I need to up my game a bit if I'm going to have a mug like this. You know, like, and so how long have you been sober now?
Nearly 4 years.
Wow, congratulations. So, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Well, you know, I mean, now it's normal to me. Yeah. You know, I don't think about it at all, really. I certainly don't miss it. My life is so much better now than it was 4 years ago that, you know, the idea of going back there just gives me heebie-jeebies.
Well, that's awesome, yeah. And so, Clemmy, how long have you been sober now?
I'm quite a different journey, actually. I'm 4 months sober or thereabouts.
That's amazing. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
At the point of giving up, I actually wasn't drinking very much at all. But my anxiety, well, I'd had 3 kids quite quickly, and so I hadn't had many periods where I'd actually been able to drink because I'd either been pregnant or breastfeeding. Mm. And actually after Greta, it was the first time I was like rubbing my hands together. I was like, right, I'm going to get back on that horse. I'm going to start drinking again. And as that became available to me, my anxiety levels were absolutely shooting up, and I had suffered with anxiety on and off for about 10 years. And it's only now as I reflect that the peak times of my anxiety were hand in hand with the peak times of my drinking. And they're people definitely me self-medicate to ease those nerves, not knowing that it's a vicious cycle that triggers the anxiety. And for me, the night that stopped everything, I said, we'd been out drinking in the afternoon with some friends, and my coping strategy to avoid being hungover was to always exit everything at 10:30. Mm. That was, and it became so much of a fixation that it was ruining my nights because I literally clock watching, because if I could get home, get some water in me, get to sleep, I'd be fine and functioning for my kids.
Have paracetamol.
Yeah. And then that night I left at 9 and I knew I hadn't drunk very much, like logically a couple of gins, but my anxiety levels were creeping up. And then most of the friends I was with that night actually went on a really big one until 5 in the morning. And the next day, although they felt rough, they weren't in this pit of self-loathing. And I was like, there's no point me drinking anything if it equals this self-loathing. And I haven't even in that instant had the fun to offset it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was kidding myself that because I wasn't drinking very much that it wasn't having an impact. And it's only by going sober, which I did as a kind of, it wasn't actually a recovery moment. It was like, I'm just interested to see how this pans out for me. Mm. And 4 months down the line, I just want people to know that being sober is the greatest gift. There is not, it's not denying myself anything. Like, no. The gifts it has given me in terms of my mental health, people keep going, what are you using on your skin? And then when you say, oh, I'm sober, they're like, oh, that is not the answer that I want. But
yeah, it's free Botox.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Okay, I'm sold.
and the sleep. And again, I've blamed bad sleep on having small kids, which is definitely the main thing. But actually, the quality of sleep you get from not self-medicating with alcohol is, and we all know that sleep unlocks your mental health in a way.
Yes, definitely. Mm. And that's the hard thing is, I think, you know, being mums with small children, I think a lot of women do enjoy that glass of wine because it's like a bit of mama time.
Life
and it's a bit
not
of like
fun, is it? It's a shorthand of fun.
Yeah, it's like it's your time to unwind. And I think that's the vicious circle. Like in your book, you call it the wine witch, like kind of calling you, saying, "Have you know you want me and stuff." Excuse me, whilst we have Inca crying.
The wine witch was one of the things that made me realise that I had a problem, and in that, you know, I had this constant voice in my head that was sort of saying, you know, when are you going to drink tonight, or are you not going to drink tonight? How much are you going to drink tonight? What time might you start drinking?
What do
you,
what
are you going to do tomorrow? Are you sort of, you know, and you know, have you got a bottle of wine in the fridge? And you know, and can you go to that shop again, or will they judge you because you went there and bought wine yesterday? And I mean, just ridiculous things, and it goes round and round in a loop. And one of the best things about not drinking is the headspace.
You know, I've got so much
time to think about other stuff.
Yeah, it's really liberating.
Yeah, it's freedom.
I find this fascinating.
I think you're so right. You know, I think most people, you know, have this view that giving up alcohol is depriving you of something. And you know, I can't tell you how much I've gained. Rather than lost.
It really does make life really sparkly again, because all the, yes, there's a whole bit of learning in that it becomes a social crux, and we, as an adult, you know, I've socialised with alcohol in my hand whole adult life.
Yeah.
But once you get past that, the nights where I've been on holiday and we're all belly laughing, I can remember that it all for every moment of it, for the actual feelings I felt, not because there was a cloud of alcohol.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Well, I think what we do is we drink to take the edge off the difficult parts of life, but what we don't realise is it actually takes the edge off the good bits.
Exactly.
Too.
Life and clear focus is amazing.
Yeah, so it's like you have the dimmer switch on everything.
Yeah, it's true.
And when you stop drinking, you have to get used to doing the hard things without alcohol. Yeah. But actually, when you get used to that, it becomes like a superpower, you know, and you think, God, if I can do all of this, you know, like I did breast cancer without drinking and I came out the other end and I thought, God, if I can do that without alcohol, I can do bloody anything. Yeah. And, you know, and it was that experience that led me to publish the book. And, you know, and now I've written a novel and which is coming out next year. And I've got a whole new career that I never would have had the nerve to do if I'd still been drinking, because I feel now like I've got, as I said, I've got this superpower that I
never
had.
And there aren't those off, like, you know, I'd go for lunch and just have one glass of wine, so it doesn't really affect you, but you know, you're not as productive and you're not as on the ball, and there are just none of those off moments, are you? There is no Sunday. Every day just feels the same, and it's really nice to just feel level.
I have to say, I'm quite jealous of you too.
Days have shifted, because you know, I used to stay up late and I'd hate the mornings and I wouldn't really function sort of well until about 10 o'clock. And now I'm the opposite. Yeah. So I wake up at 5 in the morning and I'm on full cylinders, and then I crash out at about 10.
Yeah, because there's not much to stay up for, is there?
Like, see, that sounds... I can only relate. Like, I did dry January for a month.
Mm. You've also been pregnant, so you have been sober.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I did have like a glass of wine here and there.
Yeah, true. So.
You know, obviously not loads, but you know, the odd, you know, organic glass of red wine I did have.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously I haven't been smashed for a long time. But when I did dry January, even though it was just for a month, I did feel and see changes because my husband and I did it together and we were so productive. Yeah. Mm. Like instead of like sitting down watching Netflix with a bottle of wine, we cleared out the cloakroom. we were doing all sorts of stuff. We weren't bickering as much.
Nice
we had
other.
More. Yeah, we had yeah. more patience with the kids. And we were actually like, this is amazing. This like we don't need alcohol. We can That's just true. Survive off Beck's Blue for the rest of our lives. Yeah. And then of course, you know, February 1st hit and we had a dinner party and got absolutely wasted. And then the next day was horrendous. I had a disgusting hangover, felt guilty because the kids were in front of the TV, and then we went to McDonald's. I mean, it was horrendous, and the guilt of just like this is actually disgusting. We were like, well, let's just go sober. But I find it quite difficult because I feel like everywhere you go is related to alcohol, like yeah, kids' birthday parties, yeah, events,
fitness yeah. events, like everything. Has
anything.
Got,
it has and, a supermarket. Go yeah. to a supermarket. What's the first thing you see straight in front of you? Oh, like boxes and boxes of beers or prosecco. You like get a
but
box of seven
Prosecco's every time
and,
you avoid that and turn it down, you like pat yourself on the back. I mean, eventually, well, even for me, 4 months in, I don't really actually even see it anymore.
Right.
Other than being really depressed, you look on a drinks list, you're like. I'll have sparkling like water.
For me, when I go like supermarket shopping, you know, it's like I can't wait to get to the wine, you know, the wine aisle.
Really?
No. Not like because I want to drink it all there and then, but because I want, like you said, I want to make sure that through the week
you got nice.
There's
wine.
A bottle of wine in the fridge. You know, I've become a bit of a wine snob because I used to say I'm not drinking it to get pissed because I'm not. I'm drinking it for pleasure. But obviously, where is that kind of...
Yeah,
you know,
I used to think the
middle...
more you spent on the wine, the less of a problem you had because you were a connoisseur and not a lush.
So it's all about, you know, the New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc for me. You know, I love a Marlborough because I love the taste of it, but also I'm a bit like... I don't know, the thought of like drinking Pinot Grigio, there's a no in it, I don't want to drink that, it's not sort of wine.
I've got a rule with them.
But I've definitely, you know, reading your book, because my sister lent me the book and I'll go back a few weeks. Obviously, we lost our father quite recently, which hit me quite hard, more than I realised it would. And I've been drinking more than I should be on the back of that. But then, of course, what's happened since then as well is I've never in my life suffered from anxiety ever. But it's been so bad recently, like the worst I've ever experienced in my entire life. So I keep blaming it on my dad. But actually, I think what I need to start saying to myself is actually it's probably the alcohol with my dad mixed in a bit as well.
It doesn't help.
And you're trying to mask some difficult feelings, but actually those feelings, I wrote in my blog that things like that, the feelings don't go away. Alcohol just shapeshifts them and they'll come out somewhere else.
I know, absolutely. And it is. Like I've had, like, my chest has felt so like someone's standing on it and I couldn't breathe and I actually had to phone the paramedics actually around because I thought I was having a heart attack. And I don't know what, you know, I've never suffered like this before ever in my entire life. And my family's been really worried. My husband's been worried. Yeah.
That's why I wanted you here today
And I do think that, you know, I never want to put myself into an alcoholic box, but I'm definitely, you know.
We don't have to call
I do drink.
Names.
No, absolutely not. Like you a dependent. Don't.
I mean, I think the I language is
yeah, you did. About recovery
And I think the language is really important. And part of the reason it took me a long time to quit drinking is I thought if I quit drinking, then I have to come out as an alcoholic. Mm. And I don't think I am.
No.
I don't like the term. And I don't want to I don't want to spend the rest of my life in recovery from a disease.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to quit drinking the same way I quit smoking and be a non drinker.
Yeah.
And you know, I've done a TED talk called Making Sober Less Shameful, which talks all about the language we use. And you know, I think we should talk about non-drinkers, we should talk about alcohol-free, clean drinking, you know, the positive terminology rather than you know, alcoholic disease recovery, which is, you know, it's not helpful you know, it is a really positive lifestyle change. So why label it with such negative?
Yeah, people love vegans.
I think it's where you give up anything else and people pat you on the back and you give up alcohol and they go, you poor thing.
Yeah, do you find that?
Don't feel sorry for me.
Do you feel
I loved your bit in your book, sorry.
Do you know what? It's how you talk about it.
Yeah.
If you're proud about it and I'm prepared to talk about it and I feel like it's a positive thing,
absolutely
then people...
Absolutely positive thing.
And you know what? What you realise, people don't really care.
Right.
People really are only caring about their own business.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
The only person it probably affects is my husband. But other than that, people... And actually, I spoke to Claire off mic about it. I used to always think that everyone was as drunk as me. So I'd be like, God, that wedding was crazy or that dinner party was crazy. And then you ladder back and you realise... Oh no, I was on that level. Yeah. You know, I was half a bottle of wine ahead of everyone else.
Yes, yeah, so true.
There are so many people not drinking, people who are really into exercise or pregnant or going through cancer treatment, there are more sober people in a room than you realise.
I think you're absolutely right.
And the people who have an issue with you not drinking are generally the ones who have an alcohol issue themselves.
Yeah.
And when you tell them you don't drink, it makes them question their own drinking habits, and that's what makes them uncomfortable. Yeah. So, you know, you find that people who don't have a problem, don't drink very much or don't drink at all, couldn't care less whether you drink or not.
I think it's a lot to do with people, you know. I've got some... you know, my friends, I've got like my my 20s friends, you know, my travelling friends. And, you know, it's weird, actually, because me and my sister were saying the other day, when we went travelling, or we were in Thailand, no one actually drank anything until the sun came down. We had so much fun just doing stuff. So when did it suddenly...
And also, you didn't need it because you were no responsibilities, right? Was life wasn't like, so hard.
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's like, you know, beer o'clock, and it was like 6.30.
You also hadn't been
think about it. It just was
you've also been in bed till midday, so it's a different type.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
That's true, Paul.
The guidelines are like, I've written it down here, men and women should drink no more than 14 units of alcohol per week. Which, you know, is that realistic?
I don't know what that equates to.
A unit is really small.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's like,
so,
it's a thimble.
A sort of glass of wine that most people would pour is about 2.5 units.
Really?
So a bottle of wine is 9.5 units.
Right, so Bonnie and I got through a bottle of wine last night. And so that's
but with
basically
food.
So basically 14 units is a bottle and a half of wine.
Oh,
a
no,
week.
Wrong crowd.
Wrong crowd.
But it's when people go to you, I don't really drink. It's like, yeah, but it's not the same as not drinking.
Yeah.
But but also I'm not in judgment. I've had a lot of fun with booze.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My only thing is that I would urge people to, it depends where you're at, but to give it a go and just see what life looks like without it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go, this is forever, because people say to me, are you going to drink again? I'm pretty certain I never will, but I don't need to think about it like that.
No,
I'm just thinking that this week.
Yeah. And I don't regret it, actually, because as you say, a lot of it was fun. It's just that I got to the stage where it just didn't agree with me anymore.
Life, exactly.
And, you know, the way I like to think about it so that, you know, I don't ever feel deprived is I believe that everybody is given, you know, when they're born, a lifetime supply of alcohol that they can drink, and I just drank mine all really,
really
fast and I ran out. You know, it's like my son with his Halloween treats. You know, he eats them all in 24 hours, and his sisters sort of pan them out for weeks and weeks and weeks, and he's finished all his. But you know, that's his way. Yeah.
Mm.
So, and that's what I did with the booze. You know, I'd just been there, done that, moved on.
Different chapters, isn't it?
Yeah. But I do find there seems to be like just more alcohol everywhere. Like even dentists now have got something called the Prosecco smile. Do you know about this? Where it's like, and it's mainly in women. And women are drinking so much Prosecco, especially mothers, whether
high
it's
sugar.
So much high sugar that our teeth are rotting. And dentists are calling it a Prosecco smile.
What?
It's like, you get like white
it ruins
around.
The enamel on your teeth.
Yeah,
really,
and because obviously the amount of sales in Prosecco has gone absolutely crazy through the roof. And, you know, you go to a kid's birthday party, it's Prosecco.
True.
And if there's not Prosecco, you're a little bit like,
I think people really need to understand what it does for your appearance, as you say. Like,
this is what I want to hear about.
My face, honestly, it's just, my skin looks better than it's looked for years.
See, that's amazing.
Well,
amazing.
You find that one of the most immediate things that happens is your face gets less bloated.
That's it.
You know,
it feels like
and then also longer term, it sort of, you know, it improves your whole skin texture because alcohol dehydrates your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it's really bad for it. And same with your hair, you know, so it's good for your skin and hair. It's so many calories in alcohol. So, you know, it's
expensive.
And it's expensive.
The money.
Was it £500 a month? What did you said in your book? I see something like 500.
Yeah, I know people in the sober community who have saved it and then gone on
amazing holidays.
Like basically
really?
Free holidays.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
I
know, it's so true.
There's a lot of, especially if you start not just drinking at home, but when you go to a restaurant, you know, my friends really kindly now knock the booze, but obviously off my part. And you'd be amazed, you can go to a really smart restaurant and without the booze,
it makes a big difference.
You drive the whole time.
It's driving to a party.
Amazing.
Parking right outside because nobody else has driven, so there's loads of parking space. And then when you feel like leaving, you just get in your car and drive
honestly.
Home.
Oh, see, I love that. I really like
it.
Did that when I was pregnant. That was lovely.
Yeah.
and I did enjoy, obviously, driving and going
home.
But
also, you don't even get Ubers, do you? Because you can get public transport because your compass mentor's on the way home.
Yeah.
I know how to walk to the tube. I'm just going to get on.
And they're dirty kebabs either.
So, and all that money you used to spend internet shopping, you know, late at night after a few glasses of wine, you know, and you get onto Net-a-Porter, you know. So, don't do that anymore either.
Dodgy texts that you've sent somebody accidentally and they have that.
There's no regrets. There is no regrets.
There's no regrets.
See, that's the thing. It's like,
because that was where I was in a horrible place of self-loathing and regret.
Yeah.
And it's so, again, with the face, my husband's just like, it's a feeling of you looking relaxed. You've been wanting without realising it.
I think one of the things that I always felt guilty about as well is what I was teaching my children you know, it's they always say it's not what you say to your children, it's what you show them. Yeah. And, you know, I grew up in a family where, you know, it was normal to drink every night. So it was always wine with dinner, and my dad would always have a stiff gin and tonic when he got home, and then he'd have a whiskey in the evening. And, you know, and I thought that was normal. And I thought that's what adults did. You got to sort of, you know, a certain age, and alcohol was just part of the way you got through life. So it took me a long time to question my own drinking, because I thought, well, that's just, you know, it's how grown-ups live. Yeah. And I realised that my children were going to think exactly the same thing, because they were used to seeing me constantly with a glass of wine in my hand. Mm, yeah. And they thought that was, you know, they used to give me my birthday and Christmas. I always got a corkscrew or a bottle stop. And I remember once I picked my, she must have been five at the time, my daughter up from school, and her teacher said, oh, I was reading with, with your daughter today, and she really made me laugh because we were reading a book called A Cup of Tea, and I said, does mummy like a cup of tea? And she said, no, mummy likes a glass of wine. And I went,
But I thought,
I thought, actually, I don't want my children thinking that you have to drink in order to cope with life.
Absolutely.
So
I just went away, well, obviously being the holidays, and we went away camping for the first time ever, which I absolutely loved. But we went to we set up a breakfast to begin with, and then we were all having breakfast, and I just sat down and a cup of tea, and my little boy, who's like coming up to four, just went, mummy, do you not want a wine?
Wow, really?
Oh, God. And I was just like, I went, Steve, I thought that he might have said something. I prepped him like to take the piss out of me. Yeah. And because then Sam did say, I was daddy, and Steve was just like, it was not me. And I was just like, and I felt really uncomfortable.
It was a bit of a wake-up call,
and I was just like, oh my God. You know, and don't get me wrong, I don't drink in the mornings, and I don't, you know, I don't in the mornings, but like you said, I'm saying to myself, anything after midday is totally acceptable.
But also,
you know, weekdays, is it? You know, and I've got a job, and I don't want to be drinking at all during the week anymore.
But your job kind of does revolve around alcohol.
You know, being in the media world, you know, always entertaining clients, and everyone wants to drink, and then you've got the stickies.
Work hard, play hard. Yeah, I worked in advertising, and everyone was fun.
I spent 20 years in advertising. We had a bar in the office, and I had a massive expense account.
And it's really mixed messages, and you wonder why those industries spit people out
completely.
Well, funny enough, we had a reunion of a whole load of people I was in advertising with recently, and there were two, I think everyone split into two camps. There were people who were really, you know, obviously sort of drinking loads and loads and loads, and people weren't drinking at all. There was nobody in the middle.
But I was talking about this with someone else, and the creative industries, you've got a whole load of people in there who are creative and therefore probably quite emotional, and what they're doing is they're dampening their emotions and their empathy with alcohol. Mm. No wonder it then spits them out the other way.
Yeah, and you know what? What everybody tells me is, and I found this myself, is that when you stop drinking, you suddenly become so much more creative. And sort of, you know, I found almost immediately I stopped drinking, I had this real urge to write. And I'd been a writer when I was much, much younger, but I hadn't written anything apart from emails for a very long time. And, you know, and I started writing again, and I haven't stopped since. And so many people tell me that sort of when they stop drinking, they actually sort of switches something on, and often they end up doing something that they were passionate about when they were a child and lost.
The point when we become adults and find alcohol or a bit younger, you stop doing other things.
Yeah, you do. So this one woman wrote to me, for instance, and she said that when she was a child, she was really into horses, and she used to ride all the time. And she hadn't ridden a horse for 20 years, and she stopped drinking and took up riding as sort of, you know, to fill some of the time. Wow. And she said now it's a whole new career. Wow. She's found, it's reignited a sort of major passion, and it's completely transformed her life.
And it's kind of going back to her true
self, though, isn't it? I think that's obviously that's the thing, like, if we gave up alcohol...
I'd go running, I think. I want to start
taking up running. Yeah, I mean, I exercise, because again, you're searching for kicks, aren't you? You're talking about how we like cake a lot.
Yeah, coffee.
A kick, but also, through exercise. But because you're never hungover, you often, without sounding smug, you do have that hour in the morning.
Absolutely. And you have got more energy.
You can find time.
You must have more energy.
Yeah, you have loads.
You haven't got that awful, like, that horrible alcohol.
No, absolutely. The fog, like, trying to drag myself out of bed sometimes, as opposed to, like, jumping out of bed.
Mm. And then, of course, we do, like, hair of the dog. You're like, I need a glass of wine to take the edge off.
Yeah,
and then it's like this vicious circle, catch 22. Like you're back in the same place you were before.
Yeah,
I think the one of the big problems is social media, because you know when I'm a little bit older than you guys, and I remember when I first had my first baby was born. That was the era of Gina Ford, right. And the whole sort of, you know, being a perfect mother, and it was all, you know, everything was about making perfect cupcakes and doing everything really well. And, you know, and then, you know, about sort of 5 years later or so, the sort of whole mummy blogger thing started up. And there was this whole thing about, no, we don't, you know, we're not going to be perfect. Nobody is perfect. Mm. And it's all sort of, you know, we all just muddle along as best we can, which was great. And it was a real liberation. Yeah. But what came alongside that is, you know, and to get ourselves through the day, we've got wine o'clock. Yeah. And so there were all these wine o'clock memes everywhere. And, you know, and everybody sort of joked about it. And, you know, I understand why. And on that, you know, I bought into all of that totally. Mm-hmm. But what it means is that we forget alcohol is a drug.
Yes, yes
and,
it is.
And it is a drug just like any other drug. Yeah. And as a result, your tolerance builds up gradually. It's a toxin. It does, you know, you become dependent. And when you don't drink, you have all those withdrawal symptoms which feel like anxiety. So, you know, so if you remember that it is a drug, then you can be a bit more cautious with it.
Yeah. I read somewhere.
Because at school, we're all told, you know, heroin is absolutely no. We're told, you know, do not touch drugs, don't do this, that, and the other. I reckon if alcohol now, you know.
In fact, they say that if alcohol was released now, if they found it now, they would make it.
It's the fourth most dangerous drug to the individual of any drug out there, according to. There was a report called the Nutt Report in 2010, where they looked at the relative harms of different drugs. So alcohol comes up fourth, so more harmful to the individual than cocaine, than nicotine, than acid, ecstasy.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's really available.
So the only drugs that were found to be more harmful were crystal meth, heroin, and crack cocaine.
Oh my god. That's actually frightening. Can you imagine going to the supermarket and, like, instead of picking up a bottle of wine, you're picking up, like, you know, a gram of Coke, and it's like, well, it's normal because we found it like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, so it's all right to do it.
And you never go to, you know, say to one of the mums at the school gate, you know, it's Friday, can't wait to get home to have a line of Coke. You know, you just wouldn't.
No. So,
can you imagine? Can you imagine?
And so, you know, and I think if you can handle alcohol and it's not causing problems in your life, then that's absolutely fine. But just remember that it's a drug. And just be clear to your children that it's a
drug. Moderation.
And so you just have to be very wary of it.
Sometimes as well for mums, and I think I can relate to this, is when you are a mum and you're at home and you're not at work and you don't have that adult interaction, sometimes just holding a glass of wine, it makes you feel like, okay, yeah, I am a grown up, and I am able and capable, and this is my reward for the day. Mm. And it's just I'm just holding that glass of wine and going, this is my adult time
and
now.
And for your...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Relationship, you know, that's the bit when the kids are in bed and it's, yeah, a way for you, it's, yeah, a very quick way to connect, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Absolutely.
If you, like, have a glass of wine together, yeah, and, yeah, suddenly you're, mm, able to communicate in a way that you used to.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Has Ben gone sober as well?
No, I just say, so we've got my brother gets married on Saturday, which is amazing, and I am absolutely fine about being sober, yeah, but it's going to be hard because Ben and I were always one of the most drunk couples at a wedding, and he's probably still going to be that, and I have to allow him to go on that journey,
of course, yeah, yeah.
Mm. and not be annoying, but he has definitely cut back.
That's good.
And my,
that's,
husband, good, still drinks, and in a way I'm really glad he does, partly because he drinks moderately, damn his eyes, you know. And so, you know, I think he's a good role model for the children, because, mm, he shows them how it is, yeah, possible to have a sort of, you know, good relationship with alcohol. And also, to be honest, I slightly worry that if we were the sober couple, yeah, that we'd, no, never be invited, no, anywhere.
That is a fear. I'm like, I always think to Ben, am I still fun? He's like, yeah, you are.
Yeah, of course.
What isn't fun is talking about whether you're being fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, we've got a few questions. This question is for you, Clemmie. This is from Kristen Loves. She says, now that you're sober, do you feel too much emphasis is on alcohol to cope with? But I think you've already answered that with saying that you feel absolutely,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, but yeah, it's hard, isn't it? You also don't want to be judgy.
No.
You know? Because that is the, especially near this early stage of being sober, where you want to go and shout it from the rooftops and try and convert everybody to being sober. But
what's amazing is that you're both sober and you're both saying exactly the same thing. Yeah. Like your skin's changed, yeah, your absolutely, energy, like you're being, how productive you are. Like it actually, like I think, you know.
Yeah, look at you two. Yeah,
exactly. And that's why the sober community, and that would be my advice for a good starting point, is that before I actually did it, I started following quite a lot of the sober community, yeah, on Instagram. And the reason they're all talking about it is because it does make you, it does feel like an amazing thing.
Yeah. Mm. And that's all new, because when I first quit 4 years ago, it was much, there were far fewer people being vocal about it. There was, you know, there were hardly any alcohol-free drinks. So Beck's Blue was the only alcohol-free drink I could find, you know, grown-up alcohol-free drink. Whereas now there are hundreds and hundreds. It's a really big, really big explosion. And there are so massive sober communities on Instagram, on Facebook, on, bloggers. Yeah. I mean, it's
really a good community.
Yeah,
it's like
huge,
you say,
quit,
like, you know, people becoming vegan. So 4 years ago, that wasn't a thing. And now it's like people wear T-shirts saying, I'm vegan.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe we should have T-shirts saying, I'm sober.
But there's also that confusing thing that, definitely for our generation, that it was seen as a bit of a rebellion, that kind of Ladette culture that Zoe Ball was doing here.
Absolutely.
And that felt like a rebellion, but actually, if you try and reframe this, it's a bit of a rebellion, you know, you're going against what is a social norm, which is to drink.
That's exactly what I do, because one of the things I was really, there's a chapter in my book called Still a Rebel or something like that. Because, you know, that's one of the things I was most worried about. I thought, you know, my whole persona is about being the wild child and the rebel and the sort of, you know, and I don't
wild
want to lose
cake.
That. And now, but I feel, as you say, I feel I'm awesome. Still the rebel. I'm still out there zagging where everyone's zigging or whatever.
Next question is, how difficult is it to be around drunk people when you're sober?
I want to punch them.
There's a point when it's really contagious and fun, when everyone's at that really good bit of being drunk, and then you're kind of on board, and then it transitions. People are get very close to you when they're drunk. You know,
they do, and they touch you a lot. Yeah. A lot of touching,
and they repeat themselves.
Yeah,
like, so you have to pretend that you haven't already had the conversation.
Oh, yeah. And like, that kind of Prosecco breath when it gets kind of dry.
God. Stale.
But in a way, that's quite good because it reminds you why you're not drinking. So, you know, if you go to a party and you have that moment where you think, oh, maybe it would be a good idea to have a drink, and you look at some of the really drunk people around you, it reminds you why you're not doing it.
And then it's like, I'm trying to check myself that if I'm starting to feel like I'm being a bit judgy, then it's my choice to kind of exit that situation.
Absolutely.
I don't want to ruin anyone's fun.
No.
No. No one likes that. No so likes but you did this last night. I mean, I've been receiving it. And
smugness.
And you know, I mean, I'm really the last person to judge anyone.
I always say this to people:
you know, I mean, nobody needs to feel bad about their behaviour in front of me because I've been there, done that.
And it's not about anyone else. I'm only doing this for me.
That's how it should be. But it's actually really interesting to hear you say that it does go hand in hand with anxiety, and that's why. I wanted you to come on, Bon, because obviously
I've never had this before, so I don't know why. I don't know where it's suddenly just
horrible.
Just suddenly come on.
Well, I mean, it has obviously. I mean, there's always a reason to drink. You know, like
there's always, like,
especially you know, your cat's just been run over. Dad passed away. There's always something, or a play day, or you know, school holidays. There's always a reason to drink.
There's a few things bubbling away.
Suicide in our family as well. Committed suicide recently as well. It's just been one of those shitty years.
Which you do go, right, I just need to drink through this. But at the same time,
it's affecting me massively.
And I've never seen you like that before, ever. And actually, when you did give up, because you did stop drinking when you were in your height of panic attacks and anxiety, and it's amazing how your body just rejected alcohol straight away. It was just like, that's it, no more alcohol. And you listened to your body. And then you did start to get a bit better. And then as soon as you started to feel better, you started drinking again.
But so many, like anxiety is another thing that's on Instagram. A lot of mums talk about them. I mean, that's really good to be public about it. But that I then do see them doing Wine O'Clock and you're just like,
Those two things exactly. There is a connection.
I quoted you on Instagram actually a while ago because you had this great expression in a blog post you did about not drinking, about control underwear. So I probably won't get it quite right, but you said something about how drinking to stop anxiety is like wearing control underwear, sort of where you squish it in one place.
That's brilliant.
And it really does. It doesn't go anywhere. All those difficult feelings don't go anywhere, do they?
They just come out.
I've definitely come to the point where I know I'm probably drinking too much. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to do something about it. Whether I'd go completely teetotal or, you know, whatever.
But I'm going to start with Oxober.
I'm going to sponsor myself.
I'll sponsor you.
Sponsor me. So
I'll definitely get an app. For me, I found an app really good because there are clock. Well, you asked me today how many days. I'm really goals orientated, so I like seeing that click over.
No, of course.
Whatever time.
Yeah. No, I want to stop doing more exercise. And I want to
exercise
myself,
really helps because it releases sort of, you know, all the feel good hormones.
That's how I cope with things is to exercise. Yeah.
How much do you reckon right now you're drinking like per day, per week, like all cards on the table? Because I'm sure there's other women listening to this who would love to know.
I'm drinking maybe two, three glasses a night.
Yeah.
And then weekends.
Alone or with other, with Steve or other mums?
Both. Yeah. But then obviously with play dates and, you know, there's always something going on, especially on holidays, you've always got, you know, there's always an excuse. There's always an excuse because I've got a wedding or I've got a party or a work
do. And actually you find that you arrange your life to give you those excuses. I would arrange to go out when I didn't really want to go out just because actually what I really wanted to do was to have an excuse have a few glasses.
No, absolutely. But I'm not going out. I'm not drinking to get pissed for anything. It's just because I just feel like it's something that I've just been doing.
Do you find that you're
drinking more now as a mother, I feel like I'm definitely buying more bottles of wine now that I'm not a mother
so I can't answer that question,
but before we became mums, like Bonnie used to live next door and she had a swimming pool, so it was just like constant partying and like. I feel like we didn't have a glass of Prosecco before. Like, you know, I feel like
if it was
a sunny day and it hit midday, we'd be like, oh, let's have a bottle of Prosecco.
Yeah,
but we didn't do that back then.
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, but that's because we had more opportunity to go out.
You're probably right.
So you're
actually.
Like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah, I'll go to the pub.
When your social life goes, which is what the biggest shock, one of the biggest shocks about becoming a parent, isn't it? You can't just walk past a pub on a sunny night and think, oh, I'm going to stop by.
That's true. Maybe that's why mums do buy a bottle of wine and go home.
Because we can't deliver wine to your house, which is even more scary.
Deliver wine.
BP down the road now delivers wine, anything you want. But it's just crap like, wine, oh my though, God. It? No, it's like the proper like Martell Sauvignon Blanc, which, you know, is my favourite. It's just like, stop. But all like on soaps, when you watch any soaps these days, you know, you see people with a massive bottle of scotch or whatever, and then when they're feeling depressed, something's happened, they're just pouring it and downing
When I first left university, I lived with three medical students, and we used to love watching Casualty. And we used to play this game where whenever anyone had drank on Casualty, we had to drink too. And it was amazing how,
like you're wasted.
How much booze people would go through in Casualty. You know, somebody's had an accident, have a drink. You know?
But it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. I mentioned earlier about I had breast cancer, so experienced shortly after I quit drinking, which was a bad year, that one. Yeah. It was amazing how many times, however many times I said to my oncologist, the nurses, whatever, that I didn't drink. You know, they give you bad news or good news, and they say, "Oh, go and pour yourself a large gin and tonic."
Yeah, yeah. Wow, yeah. Really? And
oh, great! You know, I'll just go and have a piece of cake.
So, what are the best wines then? Like, obviously,
non-alcoholic,
non-alcoholic wines. Yeah, or like the best sort of.
I think non-alcoholic wines still aren't
great.
Are
they?
Really good beers.
Great beers.
Yeah, BrewDog do one called Nanny State.
My husband loves that one. Heineken Zero. Really good.
Yeah. Sex Blue, I lived on that when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Love that.
But there's loads of interesting kind of...
Nosecco, yeah. I've drank that for a bit, actually. Which is actually quite nice.
That's quite good. I mean, I think of the wines. There's some really good spirits as well. Yeah, so Seedlip is have got three different variants and is really good. There's Sea Arch is similar and excellent. Right. So there's loads of choices.
But I would basically go for replace it with food.
Yeah.
You can never get into a cheese board more. You can have a piece of
thing.
But
like
it is honestly like a slab of cake. Yeah,
it's a glass of wine.
It's a glass of wine. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
it is. You're right. It's like because I did a bit of research last night and went through a bottle of wine. And then I was like, oh my God, a glass of wine is the same as having like an ice cream. And I wouldn't sit here and have three. No, I wouldn't do
it. I do
I'd
now.
Feel disgusting.
You do. You've got to get
one that you're allowed to.
Yeah, you are allowed to.
And that is one of the downsides, actually, as you do, Clemmie and I were talking about earlier, but it does, you do tend to get a sweet tooth when you quit drinking.
But then you've got the energy to run it off.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Still
not
a
bit of teeth. Yeah, that's true. And what advice, I'm just going to wrap this up now because I think...
We could talk forever on it.
What advice or what kind of tips would you give anyone out there who wants to try and go sober but find it's too difficult, and you know, what's like the best hacks or advice you would give them?
I think you probably need someone to be accountable to. So I told my husband that I'd done it, that I was going to do it. But I then actually didn't go really, really public for quite some time.
No, you didn't. I had no idea.
No, because I wanted to sit with it myself and see how it felt. And also, because of the platform that I do have, I knew that once I became vocal, I didn't want to,
You don't want it to define you.
No, you don't.
Your response, though, that when you posted it, and I scrolled through, because obviously I was in that sort of
headspace,
and I could not believe the amount of people that were saying, me too, my God, that's amazing.
Mm. But you must get it now. You get people messaging saying, I'm now sober for this month because of this.
I get messages from people every day from all over the world, sort of, you know, and everyone's experiences are so similar. So, you know, I would say one of the first things to do is tap into a community and find a community of people like you, whether that's on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, because it's really helpful not feeling alone.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how similar people's experiences are, and it's amazing how helpful it is to talk through all of that. And there's a great body of sort of what's known as quitlet, you know, sober sort of literature out there, and just read as much as you can. And I found in the early days, I think something that's really helpful is just to go to bed earlier. Mm-hmm. So treat it like you've sort of, you know, just think about being good to yourself and just get lots of sleep, eat really well, give yourself a few really good treats.
Yeah.
And get up early because mornings are great, and go to bed early because evenings are
boring.
More tricky. So, you know.
That's really good advice.
And would you find, like, just quickly, lastly, do you find that being sober, you have more patience with your children and your better relationship with your partners? And
I mean, it's not a magic cure, but it definitely, yeah, I'm just much more level.
Yeah, I'm less shouty.
Yeah.
Less shouty, that's good.
Because I've seen it, like, on holiday and, you know, you have a few glasses of wine at lunch, and I don't want to be judgy and boring, but you're by a swimming pool and you think, God, you know, you think, parents think that they've got their wits about them, which you have, but only to a certain level. Yeah. And then you try to leave to go home and get to bed, and you find the kids are really annoying. Yeah. And it's all because you're not quite.
Yeah, you're not quite.
Well, I used to spend a lot of time running away from my children, and I didn't see it like that, obviously, but, you know, I would do bedtime stories as quickly as I could, so I could get down and have a glass of wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would organise events so that the adults would be doing one thing and the children would be doing another.
Yeah.
And I would sort of constantly try and, you know, as I said, run away from them, which is awful.
And because you want a bit more of a level with them, because, like, actually you start finding fun a bit
in
more
in the things that they enjoy doing.
Like, actually, I will have a go at this craft because I've not got anything else better to be doing, really.
See, I like
so
that.
True.
I think that's really
so
nice.
So true.
That's really nice, actually.
Yeah, you're much more on the same level.
Yeah, you are.
And actually, so last question, and this is actually just kind of relate to what we were just saying. So I had a lady, actually a lot of women asking, I've had lots, breastfeeding and alcohol, like, what can we do? And no one really knows the answer with that. No one's really said, but I think what you're saying, like, if you have a couple of glasses of wine, I think you just need to be in that mental headspace of, like, yes, I can look after a baby. I'm not going to, you know, you need to still be aware that you are a mother and you have to have to
well, the thing is,
be a mother.
If you can't legally drive a car.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And
it's
I'm
a
not
tough
judging
one.
Because I've done it, but
it's a tough one.
You know,
well, our midwife said, you know, it's best to have a glass of prosecco whilst you're breastfeeding.
Yeah, so that it's to do with the flow.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
but I mean, seriously,
yeah, because then it's out of your system by the time you get to the next feed.
Yeah,
so it's the longest window.
God, I see. I've heard so many different things. Like someone said,
but
like,
also, what are we trying to find excuses for?
Exactly,
if you want to have a glass of wine, have one. But you don't need to try and get someone else's approval. It's only for yourself what is right for you.
Yeah. All right, guys, that was brilliant. Thank you so much for coming and talking. It's nice to meet you, Claire. Like, finally.
No, it's been great to meet you.
It's been amazing. And Kemi, thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Bon, love you always.
Thanks.
I hope everyone that's listening has found this insightful. And I think, you know, I'm going to try Oxober. I'm going to do it.
I'm doing it. 100%.
I'm going to do it. Well, we've said it now.
Let's do it together.
We've said it now. Okay. This is...
You heard it here.
This is accountability.
You heard
it
here. Really, really go into that about not being a deprived thing. Like, try and see it as like every day you've won.
Yeah.
Not every day without. And honestly,
that's a really good way of looking.
Yeah, you're right. It is all about the mindset. If you're excited about it, then you see it as something that is going to be really positive.
I need to do it. I want to do it.
You know, whereas most people, you know, when they go into dry, even calling it dry January, it's like, oh God, I'm going to do dry January. It's going to be really tough, but I can get through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's if you go into it with that attitude, it does make it hard.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go in thinking, yay, I've got a month off the booze, it's going to make me feel great.
And honestly, do it before and after. I bet you look different by the end of the month.
I'm going to do it. Okay, I've literally said it 3 times now. I'm going to do it. I will. All right, guys, thank you so much. It's been awesome. And thanks for everyone listening. Until next time. Wow, I absolutely love that podcast. So real and honest. And I want to thank our guests as well for being so open with everything, and it's been really insightful. I really hope you've enjoyed it. If you have any questions you want to ask the guests, please get in touch with them on Instagram. I'm sure they won't mind you asking anything. And thank you for listening again. Please share, rate, and download the podcast Mama Still Got It, and I'll see you next time. Thanks again for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.